Greetings to you all this morning. Could we stand for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we run to you this morning because you know just what we need. Oh, Father, thank you for this house of prayer this morning. Lord, I thank you for giving us this occasion to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray you would help us to come together in the bond of peace and in the spirit of unity. I pray we could love one another with a pure heart fervently here today. God, we pray you would open up our ears to hear what you have to say from your word. I pray that your word would come alive to each one of our hearts this morning. And Lord, we trust you. Thank you for that encouragement on trust. And I pray that you would cause faith to rise in all of our hearts this morning, and fears and doubts be vanquished. Lord, I pray you would strengthen me with might by your Spirit in my inner man this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul likens his Christian life to a war, to a race that is being run. And one brother reminded me a few weeks ago that we're not home yet. And I took that to heart, and I've pondered that a lot. Was thinking about how this life is a race, and we are given tests, temptations come our way, and I've thought about it many times. I'm not home yet. And then he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read the first 13 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 here for my introduction. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, Brother Jody talked about the foundation stone, I think you could say, by which we run this race and endure to the end, and that's by trusting and obeying. It's by faith. And what I want to bring to our attention this morning here is just one of those keys. I see it as one of the keys that we have that we can use to, I guess it flows out of that faith. There's different things that flow out of that faith that Brother Jody talked about that make us more than conquerors. And I recognize that what I have to share this morning is just one of them. It's just one of the keys. And maybe it's not even the most important key. I'll let you decide. I know we're admonished to meditate on the Word of God. We're admonished to read it. We're admonished to pray without ceasing. These are all things that, these are all keys, these are all a part of what we can do to find a way to escape when temptation comes our way. The the very solemn warning that comes to us here is that all these people here that fell in the wilderness were destroyed. There's many people here that didn't make it. And the point that God wants us to see here is that they were delivered out of Egypt. They all came out of Egypt and they all went through the Red Sea. They all had an amazing deliverance from Egypt. But God's saying here, warning, just because you got delivered, just because today you can sing the song, He brought me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock. Warning, take heed, lest that when you think you stand, you'll fall. Now, praise God, there's no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. And praise God that He also does make a way for us to escape. If we want to escape, we can escape. He doesn't let us helpless. So, the key I would like to give to you this morning is singing. I have been made aware recently that God has given us as part of the weapons of our warfare a weapon called singing. And I'd like to lift that weapon up to you this morning, or that key here, to help us win this race that we're in. This is one of the things that you can use. It's at your disposal to use against the enemy in assuring you that you make it home, that you make it home safe, that you win the race. Paul said, "So run that you may obtain." And I think he's meaning by that, use everything that's available to you in this race. And one of those things that are available to you in winning this race is singing. Amen. Now, I know we live in a day with lots of technology, and it's very easy to listen to singing. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we have the ability to be listening to singing. But I would like to lift up this morning singing. Not listening to it, but singing. David said in Psalms 119, verse 54, he says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." And that, I guess, is the verse that inspired this message this morning. That carried me for a couple of days as I pondered that. David is saying here, as I understand him, that as he was on this pilgrimage, he was singing God's laws, God's statutes. He was maybe singing through the Ten Commandments, or singing through the, maybe he was singing his way through Leviticus. But whatever the case, he says, "Thy statutes have been my songs." That's what he was singing as he went about his day. He was singing the statutes of God. The sweet psalmist of Israel, he's called, and has left behind us a whole songbook here of 150 songs. And if you count 22 songs in Psalms 119, I guess it'd be 171 songs here. So you have to agree with me that singing is important to God. So important that God has even had the stars singing. He says in Job that the morning stars sang. And I would love to hear that someday. And maybe someday we will. But in Ephesians chapter 5, we're admonished to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Colossians here, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you then be risen with Christ, he says, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. If you've been risen with Christ, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this. I believe I've done it a few times. I'm not sure anyone has ever done it to me. But as I was preparing for this message and meditating upon this, it all of a sudden, this verse took on a new meaning to me that it seemed to be saying that one of the ways that we're to teach and admonish one another is by singing them a song. Like if you want to encourage someone to meditate on the Word of God, sing Psalms 1 to them. Or Psalms 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Sing it to him. You know, there's something about a song that sticks like just talking doesn't. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That does something, doesn't it? It does something different than what just telling you does. There's something about singing that, as I've been pondering this lately, that I think we're missing in our Christian life. I think we're missing one of the keys. You know, we've been admonished much, and I've done it much myself about reading and meditating on the Word of God, and that's very powerful. And we'll see that here in these scriptures that we look at. And we've heard many messages on calls to prayer and evangelism, opening up our mouth and speaking forth our testimony and preaching Christ to the sinner is a way to overcome the enemy there in Revelations 12:11. Those are all very good keys, but I don't know if I ever heard someone preach a message on how important it is to sing. Now, we have had messages on music, and I don't plan to give you a message here this morning on music. Now, I do believe there is good music and there's bad music. And I believe you do well to listen to some of our ministers who have preached messages on music. Brother Mose has had some, and John D. Martin has taught much on music, and there are others. And I think we do well to take heed to striving for excellency in music. But what I want to teach on here this morning is singing. I'm going to admonish you to sing. And I'll let some of the older, wiser men who have the right music better figured out than I do to teach you what is right music. Moses, when he got through the Red Sea with the children of Israel there. They sang a song of victory when they got to the other side. David, in Psalms 51, we have a song of repentance that he sang when he was confronted with his sin. I bring that out because there's a tendency for us to think that singing is just to when we feel good, when everything's going well for us, we sing a song of thanksgiving and praise to God. But I would like to show us that according to the Word of God, it's right to sing in every occasion. It's right to sing when you're repenting, Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have remorse and be crying over your sin, but David sang a song of repentance. He wrote a song and sang it. And we have it recorded for us today in Psalm 51. There's probably a half a dozen other songs here in Psalms that are songs of repentance. Nehemiah went to great pains to sing a song, a loud song that was heard for miles around. They were on top of the wall, the way I understand it, on top of the wall, the whole way around the walls of Jerusalem. And they sang loudly so that everyone could hear from a long distance. So it wasn't something that was just kept within the four walls of their church. Mary, it seems, sang a song when she went to visit Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost there, and the baby jumped in Elizabeth's womb, and it would seem to me like Mary sang a song there. Jesus sang a song with his disciples in his darkest hour, right before he was taken by the disciples, betrayed by Judas there in the garden. They sang a song there and went out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he was betrayed. And you can imagine that his sweat was drops of blood there in the garden. So that gives you a picture of the agony and the weight and the darkness that was come upon him by that time. And he was singing. Paul and Silas sang in prison with their backs beaten and raw and bleeding and in pain. They sang a song. They were singing praises to God. So I just give you some of those to help you to see that unless it's just been me that has missed out over the years, it seems like we can easily slot music into, well, that's something we do when we go to church Sunday morning, or maybe each morning for our family devotions, or at night before we go to bed. But I would like to lift up singing as one of the ways that we can do damage against Satan's kingdom, and as a way that we can cause faith to rise up in our heart. Or just as a way of maintaining faith in our Christian life. Sing. I thought, since Psalms is the song book that we have in the Bible, it would be good to look at some of the songs and some of the different things that the psalmists here, it wasn't only David, but the different ones that wrote the Psalms, they had many different purposes for. And if you'll go through our song book, you'll find the same thing. Many songs are songs of praise and adoration and exalt the holiness of God, the greatness of God, songs of love and adoration to Christ for what he has done for us, songs of commitment, songs of dedication, songs of surrender. And that's what you see here in Psalms. You have songs of of afflictions. And I guess that's what has ministered to me, it seems, the most, is that singing isn't just for times when we want to praise the Lord for His goodness to the children of men. But if you are being afflicted by the devil, it's okay to sing a song about that to the Lord. And maybe by the end of the song, you'll be delivered. And that's what you find a lot of times in Psalms. He's gone through some great affliction and the enemies are around him and they are trying to destroy him. And by the end of the song, he's triumphant. You have songs that are intended to instruct, containing doctrine, principles, rules, or moral precepts. Songs like Psalms 119. Psalms chapter 1. It's intended to instruct. You have songs in there of that are intercessional. And of course, many songs of praise. You have messianic songs, penitential songs, prophetic songs, songs of thanksgiving. And there's even some songs in here that are calling down a curse or a calamity or a punishment on our enemies. And while our enemies are different now than what they were then, we do have enemies. And it's no secret, and we don't make any apologies for it. We want God to destroy our enemies. The devil and all his demons, not your fellow man, not your neighbor who seems to be against you, who seems to be your enemy. He's not the enemy that you're calling down destruction on or a curse upon. Now we're called to bless our enemies. But I believe in some way or another, all of the songs that you have in the Psalms are applicable to us today. They might just have a little different application to them than what they did then. I really appreciate the effort that men have gone to in the past to put the Psalms to music. I really enjoy singing the Psalms. We have in our hymnary many of the Psalms put to music. Number 57 is Psalms 1 put to music. Number 60 is Psalms 23 put to music. 64 is maybe Psalms 121, I'm not sure. But there are many of them. Number 62, I believe, is Psalms 40, put to music. And recently, a couple of men have been putting many of the Psalms to music, which is why we can sing Psalms 119 some. And I think It's a very worthy thing to do, to try and sing the Psalms as we have them. Psalms 1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I won't finish it, but that's clearly a song that's intended to instruct us. And it's instructing us on the importance of the Word of God and hiding it in our heart. And you have even more powerful than that in Psalms 119. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, I think I would like to propose to you all that that would be a wonderful way for you to admonish one another. Sing that to them. Sing that to your brother. Or sing it to your sister. And I think it just might catch in the heart in a greater way than if you just told them. I don't know if the importance of that scripture hits you or not here this morning, but that's powerful. That's a powerful admonition for us. It's a powerful encouragement to us to make the Word of God of great importance in our life. Who can think of a song here in Psalms that's messianic? How about Psalms 22? Jesus is being prophesied of here in a song. We see a suffering Savior here in Psalms 22. In verse 13, he says, I am poured out like... No, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. I think we would do ourselves a wonderful service to put music to that. And maybe somebody has and I haven't heard it or seen it. But we have We have many psalms here of praise, many of thanksgiving, many on afflictions. In Psalms 57, he says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." Selah. "God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves." Selah. David was in affliction here, but he was singing. And I don't have a songbook up here. But I was going to look at a couple of the songs that the Anabaptist people wrote there when they were going through persecution. Thank you, brother. The suffering is very evident in these songs. Four 18 says, "Who Christ will follow now, newborn, dare not be moved by this world's scorn. The cross must bear sincerely. No other way to heaven leads. From childhood we're taught clearly." This did George Wagner too aspire. He went to heaven mid smoke and fire. The cross his test and proving. As gold is in the furnace tried, his heart's desire approving. The Falcon Tower became his lease. It brought about his soul's release. No human sorrowing swerved him, nor was he moved by his small child, nor had his wife unnerved him. They no more his could be to aid, though he gladly with them had stayed. His love and sorrow welling, no labor spared he on his part, as righteous partners dwelling. Although he from them must depart, no meanly sacrifice of heart, that he from them be parting, no prince with all his princely gain, could him from this be thwarting. Two barefoot monks in gray array, George Wagner's sorrows would allay. They would him be converting. He waved them to their cloister home. Their speech he'd be averting. The hangman him with rope interned. In the town hall four counts he learned, upon which hinged his living. Before he one truth would deny, his life would he be giving. Hallelujah. And there are you can see that in many of the songs that they sang, that they wrote in that day. It came out of affliction, and many of them are very, very mournful type songs. But it was written on the bed of affliction. They were just expressing themselves in song to God out of the desperateness of their heart. And that's what you see David doing here. And the reason I'm spending more time on this point than some of the others is that I think we miss this many times, speaking for myself and assuming it's the way, that way for the rest of you, because no temptation has taken us but such as is common to man, that when we become afflicted, when we go through a hard time, when pain comes our way, when scorn comes our way, when temptations of any kind comes our way, our song is gone. Is that the way you find it? So quickly, my song is gone. But God has been prompting me that I need to sing. Whether it's in affliction, pain, persecution, or whether it's joy or sorrow, I can still sing. Just like I can pour out my heart in prayer to God, whether I'm being afflicted or whether I am going through a wonderful time of thanksgiving. We're told in Psalms chapter 62 to trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Keep in mind that this is a song that was sang to the Lord when at a time when David was going through a hard time. And if you will follow the life of David, he went through many hard times. He was, I believe, almost more than any other of the old patriarchs that we have in the Old Testament here, went through difficult times, went through many very painful times, whether it was with the king trying to kill him, or his own people trying to kill him, or his own family turning against him, his son trying to take the kingdom from him. He went through many very difficult times. And in at the time when he went through, I didn't look this up, but when his people turned against him, when they got to their hometown and their village was burnt and destroyed and all their wives and children were taken from them, his people, his men were had turned against him then at that point and wanted to kill him. Well, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and my guess is, after having been pondering on this for a while, the way he did that was through song. I think he probably sang a song of that's probably where one of these songs of affliction come from. He just poured out his heart in song to God. So we are to there's two aspects to this singing that I'm lifting up here this morning. The one is that we are to sing songs out of our heart to the Lord at all times, regardless of what we find ourselves going through. But then, as it also says here in Colossians, that we, and maybe this seems too unorthodox to you, but it says we're to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I just have the picture that is saying to, for you to be free at any time to come up and sing a song to me. If you're wanting to admonish me about being uh, more surrendered to Christ. Come up and sing the song or sing a verse of song. Fully surrendered, Lord divine, I will be true to thee. You know, I think that will have more of an effect than if you tell me, admonish me before you go, be faithful to Jesus this week. Just sing me a line of song. And that, I think, may grab my attention more than the admonishment in word would do. And maybe you think I'm out on a limb here. I don't know. But I just, as I have pondered this verse, that's what it seems to be saying to me. And the other thing is, it's given clear direction as to what kind of a song it is to be. It's to be a song that is rich in the Word. It's to be full of God's Word. Something that is, without a question, true to the Word of God. And that's another thing that has been a real challenge to me in reading through the Martyr's Mirror. When they wrote letters, they basically were just writing scripture. They just wrote scripture after scripture after scripture. They had obeyed this verse. They had the Word of Christ dwelling in them richly, because they were sitting in those prisons without Bibles. And when they wrote letters, it just flowed out. This scripture, that scripture, a scripture over here, from Genesis to Revelation, the scriptures just flowed out of them. And without having a Bible in front of them, they let the Word of Christ dwell in them richly. So, I don't know. Like I say, I've never heard someone take this to that degree, and you know, I realize it could seem pretty silly if when church dismissed we all started singing to one another, but I think there is a time and place that you can sing a song to a brother or sing a song to a sister and encourage her. One of the things that we've done as a family, and I know has been done to us too, is to give somebody a call, and the family all sit around the phone there and sing a song to someone over the phone. And of course, we've all gone to old folks' home and sang songs for the old people, I don't know, it seems we think that we're above that maybe in some ways, but I believe that it could be a great blessing to us as a body if we would do more singing. Singing to one another and singing in our own hearts with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And how does it say there in Ephesians? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So I'll let you all judge it from there. Let the prophet speak and let the people judge. I'll let you all judge whether I'm totally missing the point there. You tell me so. I'll give you your opportunity here now. But to try to bring it to a close here, remember, first of all, we're not home yet. That just because you have a testimony that God delivered me out of Egypt, praise God, I've been delivered from the bondage, from the slavery in Egypt. Well, let me remind you, you're not home yet. And the devil is going to do what he can to make you trip and fall and hurt yourself. And he's going to do what he can to keep you from getting back up again. He wants you to fall and he doesn't want to see you get back up. Well, one of the weapons we have against him is singing. I believe when you start singing a song that's full of the word of God, he runs. I believe he has no power against you when you start singing the word of God. This one thing yet, and I'll close by way of testimony. Though I am in great need in this area myself, a song that did really help me the last week here is number 166 in my struggle to have a profitable, quiet time with the Lord, whether reading my Bible or praying, in my struggle to keep my mind from wandering, bringing my thoughts into subjection, I came across this song one day. And it was right where I was at, and it ministered to me. You know, we all like to hear the songs, "Great God, indulge my humble claim. Thou art my hope, my joy, my rest. The glories that compose thy name stand all engaged to make me blessed. Or eternal Father, when to thee beyond all worlds by faith I soar." I can't think of the rest of it. "But I stand in silence and adore." And victorious songs, songs that lift our hearts to God. But we're not always there, are we? And one day, there, as I found myself at this place, finding it hard to shut the door, I came across this song. And it ministered to me like Eternal Father would have in another time or in another setting, maybe, would have. I'll sing the first verse to you as my admonishment to you this week as you go to the Lord in prayer or as you're reading the scripture to shut the door and let him speak to you. "Lord, I have shut the door. Speak now the word, which in the din and throng could not be heard. Hushed now my inner heart, whisper thy will. While I have come apart, while all is still." God bless you all as you sing.
It's good to be challenged, isn't it? Did you notice that as Dean was sharing here from the Lord's Word, that there is no qualification for age, and there is no qualification for singing quality, is there? I mean, the Lord made your vocal cords. Amen. By His providential hand, He gave you the vocal cords that you have. And you might feel that you maybe don't have a great voice to sing, but that doesn't hold any authority here over God's Word. The admonition, the exhortation this morning is to sing. Whether you are young or whether you are old. Sometimes older folks think, well, my voice trembles too much. I can't breathe as well as I used to. That doesn't matter. We sing as unto the Lord. So I want to encourage you this morning. An interesting thing is there is a historical, some of the early church writers, Jerome was one. This is what Jerome said about the book of Psalms. He claimed that the Psalms were continually to be heard in the fields and vineyards of Palestine during biblical times. So you could go out into the highways and the byways. You could be walking. Of course, they didn't have cars in those days. They did a lot of walking. And they could hear someone out in the vineyard or out in the field singing Psalms. Just a beautiful thought and a challenge to us. And the word Psalm comes from the Hebrew word Hallel. And Hallel means the book of Israel's praises. And may that be our praise here this morning. And as Dean said, that the challenge, if you can say, well, I really can't remember, songs. Maybe I know the old Rugged Cross or something like that. I don't think Dean's necessarily saying that, the Psalms is the only song you can sing unto the Lord. But it's a great starting place. And really, it's a great ending place, too. But in between there, God might have another song on your heart that you might be singing. Maybe a hymn you learned years ago that has a real, tug in your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit's having you sing that in this spiritual time, this battle that you're having. But if you're not sure where to start, the most wonderful place to start is right here in the Bible, the book of Psalms. So thank you, Dean, for that encouragement this morning. Well, I'd like to take a few testimonies here this morning, and I'd like to maybe have a little bit of a change here. I'd like to have just a few minutes of testimony, and then I'm going to have Eric Hansen come up. Eric has come back home kind of on a he has a funeral he's going to be going to, so he and his brother have come back for that from Haiti, and he'd like to give us an update on what's going on in Haiti after our testimony time, and then we'll have a song, and then we'll have our announcements. So if there are any words of testimony, anything you'd like to share regarding the message, just raise your hand, and we will. DJ?
Yes, I appreciate the message here, and I've been reading in Acts in different places, and about Paul when he was put in prison. And in Acts 16, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." And then there was the great earthquake, and all these things happened, and the keeper there says that he came to the Lord, him and his household. And this kind of impressed me. I was reading through this a couple days ago that even at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing praises to God and rejoicing that they were able to suffer for him and also just to praise him for who he was. And I want to be more like that. I know when I work, I often sing a lot, and I've had different times when things don't go very well, then you kind of start just thinking about your problems, or you're trying to get your problems fixed that you're working on. And I've had different guys on the job say, well, what's wrong? Something must be going wrong now. He's not singing anymore. And I don't want that to be said of me, but that I can be continually rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Dave.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I really appreciated both messages this morning. I felt like Jody's message on trusting was a really, really needful, and then Dean's message taught us how to do that more in the singing. We have Brother Arthur coming over one night a week, and for a while it was teaching singing, and now it's more singing because our children have learned a lot about the notes. But now we have other people coming too, and the thing that I really appreciate about it is there's no way we would get together, although I like talking about the things of the Lord. But when we get together and visit, we're going to be visiting about other things and talking about current events a lot of times. But when it comes to singing, it's just a continual, it's not just talking, but it's singing about the things of the Lord. And it's very convicting, and it's just a beautiful thing. I appreciate it tremendously. I want Arthur to keep coming to our house, but I would encourage all of you to do that, like one night a week, because it is such a tremendous blessing to just get together and sing praises to God. It's really nice.
Yes, I like to give a hearty amen to the message this morning. I've enjoyed singing through the years as I get older. It takes a lot more push than it did years ago, but I've enjoyed it much. But I'd like to bless the Cooper family as a perfect example here in the church for that. They have come to our house many times in sickness, or one of us couldn't be in the services or going through difficult times. The whole family comes in and sings 3-4 songs for us, and have inspired us so many times with that. And I know what Brother Dean is saying is a reality. Praise God.
I really appreciated your message, Brother Dean. And my mind went back while you were teaching about 6 or 7 years ago when I was just starting youth group. And I heard another message that you preached. You came to youth group and had an inspiration for us on singing and worship versus entertainment. And you challenged us as young people to take 1 month and fast from all musical entertainment. And I took up your challenge. And that changed my view of music and my view of singing. And I've never been the same after that. The Lord really used you to make a big impact in my life, to only use my voice to worship the Lord. And I want to thank you for refreshing that in my memory today. And I'm just really thankful for that.
Yes, Robert.
Yeah, I also want to be thankful for the message and to testify that what Brother Dean shared is true. It is less than a year since I married, and in this time, it is so inspiring when we hear a song on a CD. But then Lily also sang a song to me twice on different dates. It was that song on the CD, yes, but when she started singing, it was the song talked about the love of Christ to us people. And it was so different when she sang it to me. I couldn't hold my tears back. And I know that this is such a huge difference if we hear a song which is sent to a public, or if it's just to me, to myself. It touches my heart, and I know it's just for me personal, and it's very special.
Yes, I want to thank the Lord for the message this morning, both the opening and the sermon. I want to bear witness that many times singing has really been a blessing in our family devotions at home. I should sing more when I'm out and about by myself, but for some reason with the family, it's a real blessing. And also in the opening, I was reminded of a verse that I came across this week that really spoke to me, and it's in Proverbs 14:26. I'll just read it here. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. That really blessed me this week. So, I thank God and each of you brethren for the service today.
Anyone else? Yes, the back. And DJ.
I'm not very comfortable speaking in front of such a large group of people, so you must forgive me if my voice trembles a little bit. But I know of a story that I think will benefit all of us if I share it with you. So even though I'm not very comfortable, but I think I will make attempt to relate the story to you. But before I tell you the story, I have to lay out a foundation just to give you an idea where it took place. This story took place in the former Soviet Union in about mid to late 80s, during very severe persecution from the communists on the church. You know, it's very easy to sing when you're happy. I find myself humming a tune when something is going very well for me. And even among the not Christian people, you'll find that when things are going very well for them, they will sing. It's very easy to sing when everything is going well for you. But when things go very difficult for you, it's very difficult to sing. But one of the signs of the Christian person is that they will sing no matter how difficult it is. And even that example of Apostle Paul and Silas, when they sang when they were in prison, when by the world's standards they should have been crying and begging for help, they were singing there. So it is one of the signs of a Christian, of a true Christian, that you will sing when it is difficult. It also reminds me of this proverb that says, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. You know, when you're under stress, and when you can, that's when you will reveal who you really are. So going back to the story, during this particular time, for several years, it was practically impossible for the Christians to meet for a church service. And Christians would usually meet in houses. Forget about meeting in a public, in a church building. And the communists were, the Christians were under so much persecution, it was just impossible to meet in anybody's house because the police would come and just, they would dismiss the meeting very quickly. So what the Christians did for a number of years is they would meet out in the woods. But they couldn't just make it public and say, we're going to meet in a certain spot in the woods. But they would say, well, we're going to meet at this certain bus station or a train station. And from there on, somebody's going to tell you where to go. So everybody would come at a certain time to this bus station or a train station. And from there on, there would be a brother there who would tell them where the meeting would take place in the woods. And this took place for a number of years. But the thing is, police would still come to the meetings, and they would still tell everybody to go away. And it was, nobody could figure out why, how come the police could find them out in the woods? Because the way the whole thing was set up, it was very secretive, and you just couldn't find the place. Until one incident took place where it revealed how the police would come across, would find the Christians. One brother was late coming to this particular meeting place at a bus station or a train station. And when he got there, the brother that was giving the instructions where to go next, he wasn't there because it was too late. So this brother was there. He didn't know where to go in the woods. We're talking real woods here, not just a small forest. But there he saw a bunch of policemen there gathering, and he figured, well, if the policemen are here, they're probably going to start looking for the Christians out in the woods. And he thought, well, I'm just curious how they're going to find them, because nobody knows how these police find the Christians out in the woods. So he kind of stayed a little bit behind them, and he saw the policemen wandering into the woods, and he followed behind, hiding behind bushes. Keep in mind, it is a true story. I heard this from the brother who was the one following the police. And he said, once they got into the woods a little bit, they heard singing. And that's how they would know where to find the Christians. But he said this particular time was very interesting, because when they all heard singing, he saw the police go in the direction where the singing was coming from. So he followed them close behind, but then the singing stopped. I guess the song was over. And 5 or 10 minutes later, they heard singing again, but it was coming from a different direction. So the police, they all ran into a different direction, and this brother followed them close behind. And then it stopped for about five or ten minutes. And then it started back up, but now it was from a different direction. So he said for about an hour and a half, they ran in all different directions, all over the woods, trying to find where the Christians were. And they couldn't find them. So at the end, they finally give up and they all went away. What happened was when wind blows a certain direction, it carries your voice. So the Lord must have really did something with the wind for that Sunday, that it just kept changing the direction, so the police were not able to find the Christians. And that was one of the very few meetings where the Christians were just able to have an uninterrupted service without the police coming. So my challenge to myself, especially, and to all of us, is to sing, not only when it is very easy to sing, but also when it is very difficult. And even though we are living in a very easy country and during very easy time, you know, it's not easy. It might be easy physically, but it's much more difficult spiritually. And my challenge to all of us is to sing when it gets difficult.
Thank you, Victor.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.